countdown shortly here, and H minus 10 seconds, the countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Cut, Quantel, opt-in, opt-in, go tape.
This is Publius bringing you a step farther out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is 19 UTC on the 12th of March, the 71st day of the year 2022. And gosh, the world is in such chaos right now that it's hard for me to put together a coherent message to deliver. I mean, wow! As a result, I am renewing my call for $1 billion. That's 10 to the 9th power of your Earth dollars, if there was any ambiguity. To get me off this planet so I can go live somewhere else. I don't exactly know why people who already have $1 billion aren't doing this, because it can be done. I'm certain of it, as certain as one can be of a thing that's not yet a fact. I've worked it out one way and another and talked to people about it, and I'm quite confident. Now, from your point of view, as humans who presumably want to see the human race continue to exist and your current civilization to continue to thrive, it makes sense to support me to leave this planet and go someplace else and establish an outpost of human life, Earth life, civilization, and so on, because whatever bad things happen here, it means that there are places those bad things aren't happening, which would be kind of important since in the past century you have found out ways, beginning with aviation and then rocketry and so on, to have truly global wars. And that's my concern about living on this planet, is that organized mass violence is a very disturbing phenomenon. I mean, I can see humans are social creatures, and so in some way, shape, or form, it's kind of comprehensible that the mechanisms of social cohesion could, in rare instances, be perverted in such a way as to support organized mass violence. But it seems to happen all the time. That's really disturbing to me, and it should be disturbing to you as well, particularly if you don't have a plan for leaving this planet and living somewhere else the way I do. I don't exactly know what's going on here. I can only speculate that somehow you have found a way to make mental aberrations communicable. What do I mean by that? Well, it strikes me as highly unlikely that the kind of mental aberration, you know, the kind of physical brain problem needed for someone to decide that if he doesn't get his own way, he's perfectly fine with setting the entire world on fire and burning all humans, including himself, to death in some kind of cataclysmic funeral pyre. It seems to me that whatever kind of brain aberration causes that cannot occur in more than a fairly small fraction of births, because it seems like the sort of thing which would have been weeded out long ago, because it seems like the sort of thing which would come with a bunch of disadvantages for a social animal, and so humans or proto-humans with that kind of brain would have been much less successful at some point in your evolutionary history. So I doubt that it occurs more than, say, once in 1,000 people, whether that's by birth or whether it's by some kind of injury or infection or something that happens later in life. And yet, there seems to be a very effective means for transmitting this characteristic from the, you know, relatively few people. We'll say one in 1,000. Well, there would still be 7.5 million people like that in the world. But we would expect that the people around them would not be receptive to their views, would shun them. But instead, people with these characteristics seem to be pervasive in positions of power and authority. They seem to be the ones who own the property. They seem to be the ones who run the governments, run the businesses. And this is hard to understand unless some mechanism has arisen whereby this form of catastrophically destructive mental instability is transmitted to people who don't have an organic brain defect. And that's a really worrying thought, isn't it? And the other possible worrying thought is that somehow people who don't have this problem have developed a social structure which is oriented towards people who do have it. Either way, that's really disturbing, and it provides a strong incentive for me to get off this planet. Of course, it also means that it's important how we go about that. Now, what do I mean it's important how we go about that? Well, think of it this way. If people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, right, they're developing space travel technologies, right? They're using the wealth that they control to advance the development of the technologies which are necessary for space settlement. But the problem is that they are just this kind of destructive egotists, that they're perfectly willing, I'm afraid, right? I'm deeply afraid, right? We have a treaty which is supposed to guarantee against the powers of Earth going out and creating settlements and making claims in space and then getting into wars with each other off Earth the way that the European powers got into wars with each other in India, Africa, Asia, South America, and so on in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries. We have treaties, the 1967 Treaty on Principles in particular. We have treaties which are supposed to guarantee us against this, but the problem is, it is entirely conceivable that if we have Elon Musk-branded space settlements and Jeff Bezos-branded space settlements, we could see warfare between them. Because, again, if you still have the mechanisms in place which allow for these outbreaks of organized mass violence, and if you still have the personalities in charge who feel that somehow there is something to be gained from destruction on a colossal scale, then we have a really serious problem. Those of us who go into space cannot and must not accept either of two things. And the first is to have our interests outweighed by the interests of people on Earth who will attempt to use us as pawns in their power struggles with each other. It's so ridiculous. You know, there's so much to gain, right? The solar system by itself is far more than can ever be gained by taking something from another person on Earth. But it's a question of what kind of struggles you're comfortable with, I guess. There are apparently people for whom the zero-sum game, the taking away what somebody else has, is far, far more appealing than making something new which doesn't take away from someone else. And again, this strikes me as a mental defect for a social animal. Humans don't survive outside of a social context. You have to have human contact regularly, or you will suffer organic brain degeneration ending in death. This happens to people. It happens most rapidly to children, obviously, but it happens to people who are held in solitary confinement, for example. So I'm concerned about this. I'm deeply concerned. Other things I'm concerned about include people who just don't know what they're doing. There was an incident earlier in the day when the Indian military was doing routine maintenance on one of its missiles, which can potentially carry a nuclear warhead, and the missile fired itself off, apparently, and landed in an uninhabited district in Pakistan. The Pakistanis are behaving very maturely about this, but they're also very, very deeply concerned. They would like to know, for example, if this shows that the Indians have missiles targeted towards Pakistan at all times, or the Indians have long-range missiles capable of carrying mass destruction that are defective and may just go off. That seems like a bad thing, doesn't it? You know, if you thought it was reasonable, I guess I can't put myself in the position of someone who thinks it's reasonable to build a missile which will carry a nuclear warheads towards a city with the intent of destroying a city, okay? So I can't tell you whether a person who thinks that's reasonable would want to make this thing as safe as possible. In the United States, at least, most of the people who've been involved with projects like that seem to have had at least some reservations about what they were doing, and so they've put some effort into making these things not likely to just go shooting off on their own. So maybe the Indians are not actually genocidal maniacs. Maybe they're just having severe technical problems. But it seems like this would be a great warning to quit doing what you're doing. I mean, to some extent, I think that the question of how people are treated as children has something to do with it. Now, I am not a Freudian. Freudianism is one of the two great pseudosciences of the 19th century, the other being Marxism. A pseudoscience is characterized by the way that it claims to be a natural science. It claims to achieve the certainty, right, the certitude of results of natural sciences, but it doesn't actually use the methods of the natural sciences, of the empirical sciences, right? Marxism and Freudianism are the two great pseudosciences of the 19th century, which have dominated the 20th, and the thing is, though, we can still learn things from them. So what do we learn from this? Well, I would have to say, right, that we've seen a complete revolution in the course of the 20th century. Infant mortality rates have fallen drastically. The way people behave towards children perhaps has not completely adapted to this reality. I'm not saying that people ever treated their children as disposable. Or rather, I would have to say that people aren't any more likely to do that today than they were in the past. It seems, again, that this is a problem. But the only explanation I can really give, at least for people who were not raised in luxury suites with everything they could ever want, right? The only explanation I can really construct for myself is that there's some form of mistreatment of children which leads them in later life to feel as though things are always being taken away from them and that they are justified in using any means they can get their hands on to stop that from happening. Certainly that seems to be Vladimir Putin's attitude. And the only thing I can really think of is if when you're a child, you never get to have anything of your own. You never learn to share because you never have anything to share. You never get to have anything of your own. Anything that you manage to get for yourself gets taken away from you, and not just taken away from you, but broken in front of your face by some cruel person who may be tasked with being a caregiver for you. That's the only suggestion I can give, but whether that's a realistic picture of what causes the aberrations I'm observing on this planet, I don't know. And furthermore, how that would come to be a common social pattern, I don't know. It's quite incomprehensible to me. And as you can tell, it makes me very upset. I'm going to talk for a minute about the treatment of children because it's kind of important to me, and I'm going to divulge some things about myself that some people may find causes them not to take me seriously. But I'm going to start with this statement. I am an autistic person, according to the field of psychology. I have a diagnosis. I was diagnosed when I was about 16, that was nearly 25 years ago. In many ways, I feel I was lucky that I was not diagnosed any earlier than that because of the way that autistic children and young people are routinely treated. Autistic adults, too, all right. But now, some people say a person with autism versus an autistic person. I would consider myself an autistic person in the same way that I'm an English-speaking person. Both of them are serious communication defects when dealing with most people in the world. Seriously, speaking English by itself is a communication disability. But the thing is that many children and young adults who are autistic or who are considered to have autism or oppositional defiant disorder or pervasive developmental disorder not otherwise specified. There's a whole family of neurotypes, things that make you a little different from some narrowly defined norm. And those children are often subject to quite horrifying abuse. That's all I can call it. There's a thing called ABA, for example, which basically amounts to torture. And I don't mean that in the sense of, oh, you're torturing. No, I am saying that ABA, the techniques that are used, would be considered a war crime if they were performed by someone in uniform. The difference between an ABA clinic or school and Guantanamo. Well, firstly, the people who are doing the torturing have degrees and professional certifications. Secondly, the decor is better. And thirdly, most of the victims get to go home every night to the loving parents and guardians who decided this was the best thing for them. Yeah. I'm not sure that actually makes it better, is kind of the problem that I'm putting forward. Now, we also see, what else are we, so yes, I mean, the lowest level of ABA is sort of pervasive violations of bodily autonomy, that if you're not smiling and the therapist thinks you should be smiling, they will just come over and smoosh up your face into a smile until you decide you get tired of that and you're going to smile when they tell you to smile. It gets a lot worse. There is a decision in the D.C. Circuit Court that says that it's perfectly fine to use electric shocks on children to make them behave the way you think they should behave instead of the way they feel like behaving. Again, this is very concerning to me. And we have this business in Texas and several other states, which is trying to say, oh, well, we can't let kids get hormones or surgery or whatever because they think they're transgender, because they're just being led astray by, you know, wicked people who are trying to, you know, they're really going to regret it later in life, and so we can't allow this. You know, that would be an argument I would be far more sympathetic to if not for two things. Firstly, Texas Department of Children Protective Services has been held in contempt continuously at a fairly large fine per month for quite a long time by federal court because of the horrendous way that they treat children who fall into their care, including, you know, death, right? Neglect, sometimes ending in death. So saying, oh, well, we're going to set CPS on such and such people. There's not very much that could justify that, I'm afraid, because being in the clutches of CPS is nearly as bad as the bad things that really do happen to people. And the second thing is this. None of these laws or restrictions or whatever protects a child from having their genitals mutilated by a doctor who just feels like it. About 2%, between 1% and 2% of infants are born with what's described as ambiguous genitalia. This is just a thing, okay? And we know that in most instances, as they grow up, the ambiguity resolves itself. And I don't even mean in puberty. I mean significantly before that in most cases. That some people just come out a little unfinished in one way or another, and it just takes a while for all the details to work themselves out. And that's fine, right? It's not something that should bother you. But many, many surgeons and physicians out there, you know, the parent asks, so, if we got a boy or a girl? And the physician says, well, I'm not 100% sure. And so they just start cutting. Why is that a reasonable response? Why do you think that your inability to put something into a neat categorization that you learned in medical school means that you have the right to start cutting into someone else's body, right? Yeah, okay, they're an infant. They can't fight you. That doesn't make it okay. So I really think this is all of a piece, you know, not to mention the sort of second-level implications of all of this. You know, we have Putin talking dismissively about the American they-them army. And at the same time, I've seen American editorial cartoon, you know, with a soldier wearing lipstick and a rainbow flag shoulder patch being told by Joe Biden, Joe Biden, how do people manage to work up such hatred or any strong emotion about a man who's essentially a political blancmange? I mean, if you got a box of Raisin Bran that said on it, free U.S. Senator inside, you'd get Joe Biden out of that box. He's a non-entity. How do people manage to get so excited about Joe Biden? I don't understand. But yeah, Joe Biden saying, drop and give me 20 pronouns, which is just the dumbest thing ever, okay? People are afraid that their ability to commit acts of mass violence is somehow going to be impaired. And meanwhile, if you look at Putin's hyper-masculine, all-bros army, it's not doing so well, actually, because as it turns out, most of the people in Putin's hyper-masculine, you know, super-gender-conforming army are frightened 18-year-old conscripts who didn't actually want to go bayoneting babies today. So SMJ said that he would like to call in and converse for a minute. I'm inviting him to do that, but I'm seeing in comm that he says he can't call in. I don't know if that's... I had the impression 1095 is a conference bridge. It ought to be possible unless it's set to only two callers at any one time. So I don't... So yes, SNJ, how about you type your... if you can't call in, if you can type your question in comm, I would be happy to try to respond to it, even if you can't call in. But, so yeah, that's my, I mean, I'm reminded of Arthur C. Clarke's essay about gays in the military, which ends with, you know, basically save us from these horrible warmongers, you know, because he goes around pointing out, you know, Alexander the Great and Richard Coeur de Lion, you know, I mean, you know, the American Revolution, you know, was, there was this German nobleman who'd been basically thrown out of where he came from because of his tendency to wear, you know, women's clothing and things like that. But yeah, Baron von Steuben is another great example. So yeah, you don't necessarily, yes, and Tobe reminds me of Joan of Arc, which who of course I did three whole shows about Joan of Arc. Yeah, so the idea that you're going to lose your ability to commit mass violence because you've got gender non-conforming people in your military is not supported by historical evidence. But I think that people who feel that mass violence is a reasonable solution to their problems also tend to see the world in very dichotomous ways, right? They want to see the world as us and them. They want to see the world as normal people and those other people. And this is, as much as anything, a big motivator behind racism and everything related to it. But then we have, of course, what my... what a friend of mine calls the engineer's war against war, which consists in basically making war not work anymore. The nuclear weapons, honestly, are part of that. But another part of that is shoulder-fired missiles. Also, depleted uranium sabot rounds, which can be launched just fired from large-caliber infantry rifles. It really gives asymmetrical combat. Right. You can't deploy tank battalions effectively when every infantryman can carry a tank-destroying weapon which costs 100 times less than a tank, or 1,000 times less than a tank. I mean, a shoulder-fired missile may cost several thousand dollars, but that's still likely to be less than a hundredth of the cost of the thing you're firing it at. So, yeah, I don't want to live on this planet anymore, Professor Farnsworth. I don't think this needs to be our only option either. I don't think there is any good reason why we should have to be locked in a box, effectively, with people and the societies those people form, you know, societies which are dominated by people who feel that organized mass violence is a reasonable thing to do when everyone around you isn't conforming exactly to your wishes. So, yes, I look forward to receiving your cards and letters on my controversial and interesting statements. Write to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas, 76101, United States of America. If you'd like to send me $1 billion, you should probably write to that address first. I don't recommend sending it by PayPal. They would probably raise their eyebrows. If you would like to send me smaller amounts of money, just as an encouragement, paypal.me/PrometheusLives is an example option there. Or again, send me a letter. We'll talk about it. Otherwise, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is coming up.
7.